Dear listeners, Sai Ram. We now bring you Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. Today's episode was first aired on 6th June 2013 as part of Thursday Live programs on Asia Stream of Radio Sai. This program is hosted by Team Radio Sai's Bishu.
Let us first offer our loving and prayerful salutations at the lotus feet of the Infinite One, by whose grace we are able to walk and talk, to speak and sing. Dear Lord, please grace us so that we are always conscious of your unmistakable presence in our lives, and we are conscientious enough to take the path laid down by you with humility and dedication. With this prayer, let's move on and welcome, dear listeners, to yet another episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. The bhajan we will be learning today adores our beloved Bhagwan as Lord Shiva. The first line of this bhajan goes like this.
Shankara Sada Shiva Sabhapate Manohara.
The bhajan is in Sanskrit, and as always, let's first learn the lyrics of the bhajan and then we'll move on to the raga, the tala, the meaning, and in the end, we will have a short conversation with a blessed member of the Prashanti Bhajan group who has been playing tabla in front of Bhagwan since 2006, Abhishek Narayan Acharya. He continues to play even till this day and has had some beautiful moments with the divine. So that's coming up towards the end of the program. For now, here are the lyrics spelt out slowly and clearly for you.
This bhajan is being sung in the scale C sharp pancham. Shankara Sadashiva Sabhapate Manohara Chandrashekhara Jatadhara Uma Maheshwara Shankara Sai Shankara Ishwara Sai Ishwara Ishwara Partishwara Chandrashekhara Jatadhara Uma Maheshwara.
Now that we know the lyrics, let's move on to learning how to sing this bhajan. You will first hear Brother Ravi Kumar sing every line without any musical accompaniments. You will then hear Brother Anirudh follow him after every line. And when he does that, dear listeners, you too, please join. This will help you to get an idea of how this bhajan flows.
Shankara Sadashiva Sabhapate Manohara
Shankara Sadashiva Sabhapate Manohara
Shankara Sadashiva Sabhapate Manohara
Shankara Sadashiva Sabhapate Manohara
चंद्रशेखरा जटाधरा उमा महेश्वरा।
चंद्रशेखरा जटाधरा उमा महेश्वरा।
चंद्रशेखरा जटाधरा उमा महेश्वरा।
चंद्रशेखरा जटाधरा उमा महेश्वरा।
शंकरा साई शंकरा।
शंकरा साई शंकरा।
शंकरा साई शंकरा।
शंकरा साई शंकरा।
ईश्वरा साई ईश्वरा।
ईश्वरा साई ईश्वरा।
ईश्वरा परतीश्वरा।
ईश्वरा परतीश्वरा।
चंद्रशेखरा जटाधरा उमा महेश्वरा।
चंद्रशेखरा जटाधरा उमा महेश्वरा।
चंद्रशेखरा जटाधरा उमा महेश्वरा।
चंद्रशेखरा जटाधरा उमा महेश्वरा।
शंकरा सदाशिवा सभापते मनोहरा।
So that was the tune in the voice of Ravi Kumar and Anirudh. And now, dear listeners, let's learn a little more about the composition of this bhajan. Anirudh is here with us now to explain to us the swaras and the raga this bhajan is associated with. Welcome, Anirudh, to this program.
Thank you, Vishu.
So tell us, what are the technicalities of this bhajan?
This bhajan, Shankara Sadashiva, it's a beautiful composition in the rag Malayamarutam.
Okay.
In Carnatic classical music.
Mm-hmm.
It is a Janya Ragam of Chakravakam, which is called Ahir Bhairav in Hindustani.
Yes.
Classical music.
Ray Komal.
It is derived from that.
Yes.
Raga.
Okay.
Where you don't have all the seven notes in this raga, you have Sa Re Ga Pa Dha Ni Sa Sa Ni Dha Pa Ga Re Sa. You don't have Madhyam here.
Yes.
And in the Arohana and Avarohana we have Sa Re Re Komal Ga Major Ga.
Yes.
Pa Dha Ni.
Ni is also Komal.
Ni one. Yes.
Ni one.
Sa Ni Dha Pa Ga Re Sa.
It is a morning raga.
Yes. So yes. Obvious it is. The
yeah.
Feeling of a morning raga. So that is the swaras for the bhajan. Would you like to do a bit of elaboration on how this raga flows, Anirudh?
Yeah, definitely.
Sa Re Ga Pa Ga Pa Re Ga Ga Pa Da Sa Re Re Sa Da ga pa da sa re sa sa re ga ga re sa ni da ga pa da pa re ga sa re ga pa da ni padani gapadani re gapadani sane sada pa sane dha pa ga gapare sane sada ni sa
Wonderful. In fact, as you sing, the image that surfaces in my mind, or rather that I visualize, is this crimson sun, you know, just beyond the hill, slowly covering the sky with its golden rays in the morning. Somehow it just so naturally synchronizes to that sort of visualization.
Beautiful raga.
Yeah. So Anil, let's come to this bhajan now, and if you can delineate the swaras for every line of this bhajan.
Yeah, sure.
Shankara sada shiva sabapate manohara sagapa sasagapa sasagapa sasanidha चंद्रशेखरा जटाधरा उमा महेश्वरा सासने निधाद पापग गधा परे रिसा शंकरा सदा शिवा सबापते मनोहरा स ग प स स ग प स स ग प स स नि द शंकर साई शंकर स नि स रे ग रे स स शंकर साई शंकर gari 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 sasa chandrashekhara jata dhara uma maheshwara sasane nidhada papaga gada pare risa
wonderful And I think even as you sing, a few more bhajans come to my mind which are in the same raga. One is Shri Rama Rama, right?
Yeah.
Shri Rama 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 Raghuveera Rama Rama
And I think we also have
Shri Ganesha Vinayaka
Beautiful bhajans in this raga.
Beautiful bhajan. Because there are not... Perhaps there are not plenty of bhajans in this raga.
Yeah, yeah.
But the ones which are there are very beautiful.
Yeah.
And coming to the beat of this bhajan, it is in the 6th beat, right?
Yeah, this bhajan is in the 6th beat, which is called Rupakam Talam in Carnatic music.
Dadra.
Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. It goes like that.
Yes.
The count.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, Anirudh.
Thank you, Vishu. Sairam.
So now that we are familiar with the lyrics, the raga and the tala of this bhajan, let's move on to understanding the inner feeling with which we should render this bhajan to the divine. We start with the first line.
Shankara Sadashiva Sabapate Manohara
In this line, the first word is Shankara. Baba says this comes from Sham, meaning goodness or auspiciousness, and Kara means to confer. Thus, Shankara is one who confers goodness or auspiciousness on all. Baba says Shiva is eternally auspicious. He does not come embodied in other forms with other names as often as Lord Vishnu. So he is not described as Sri Shiva or Sri Shankara or Sri Ishwara. Shri is inherent in his very person. Shri is added to embodied forms of the Lord to grant auspiciousness to them. But Shiva is auspiciousness himself, and that is the reason why it is superfluous to add Shri to the name of Shiva. The word Shankara can also be split into Shan, which means eternal bliss, and Kara is one who bestows. Shankara is one who imparts eternal bliss. The second word is Sadashiva, coming from Sada meaning always, and Shiva means auspicious. The third word Sabhapate comes from Sabha, which means stage, and Pate means Lord or Master. Hence, this name of Lord Shiva means he who is the Lord of the stage. Lord Shiva is often hailed as Nataraja or the king of dancers, and this name Sabhapate too denotes the same fact that he is the master dancer, the master performer. Another interpretation is that since Sabha means stage, Lord Shiva is verily the divine director of the entire cosmic drama where all are actors doing our own little roles. In the book Loving God, Professor Kasturi writes how Swami once declared, "The sun is steady, the earth revolves, the river flows, the wind blows, for I have decided so." Humans are multi-motivated, multi-fortuned, multi-colored and so on, because they are only enacting roles in the play I wish to unfold. The automatic traffic signals for the movement of heavenly bodies have been set up by me. These are declarations from the divine director, the conductor of this entire cosmic play, and that is the inner significance of the name Sabhapate. Interestingly, all these three names, Shankara, Sadashiva and Sabhapati, occur in the holy Namakam of the Sri Rudram, which is a prayer dedicated to Lord Shiva, chanted every day in the Prashanthi Nilayam Mandir. Moving on, the fourth word, and this line is Manohara, which means one who enchants. Thus, in this line, Shankara, Sadashiva, Sabhapate, Manohara, we adore the Lord who is the cause of all auspiciousness and prosperity in this world, the one who is eternally auspicious and the supreme director of the entire drama that is life. He is the one who mesmerizes all with his grace and glory. We move on to the next line.
चंद्रशेखरा जटाधरा उमा महेश्वरा.
The first word here is Chandrashekhara, which can be split as Chandra and Shekhara. Chandra refers to the moon, while Shekhara means any ornament worn on top of the head. In some contexts, while in other contexts, it means master. Since Lord Shiva wears the crescent moon on his head, he is called as Chandrashekhara. Baba says that the moon is the presiding deity of the mind. Lord Shiva reduced the moon to the crescent of the fifth day, Panchami, and placed this crescent on his head. This act by the Lord implies reduction of the mind and desires. Baba adds that the head indicates intellect and wisdom, and says that the mind should be governed by one's intellect and wisdom and not by the vagaries of the mind and sensuous impulses. This Lord Shiva bears the crescent on his head and demonstrates his full control over the mind. Another significance is that moon is a measure of time, and hence the crescent represents Lord Shiva's control over time. Moving on, the second word in this line is Jatadhara, where Jata means matted locks of hair and Dhara means to hold. The third word is Uma Maheshwara, coming from Uma and Maheshwara. Uma is the name of Mother Parvati, the divine consort of Lord Shiva. And Maheshwara can be split into Maha and Ishwara. Maha meaning great and Ishwara means the Lord. Baba says Ishwara means the repository of all Aishwaryam, all resources, all prosperity. The Lord confers the Aishwarya of Jnana or the prosperity of wisdom. That is why He is Ishwara. Uma Maheshwara also means the Lord who is the master of nature, because the mother represents the energy principle of this creation. Hence in this line, Chandra Shekhara, Jatadhara, Uma Maheshwara, we glorify the Lord who bears the crescent moon on His head, the one who is the master of the mind and the Lord of nature. Let's move on to the third line of the bhajan, which is sung in two variations of tune.
Shankara, Sai Shankara, Shankara, Sai Shankara.
The only word which is coming up for the first time in this line is Sai, and Sa in Sai denotes supreme divinity, supreme principle, the Shiva principle, and I denotes mother. Sai therefore represents the Shiva Shakti aspect of the divine. Hence in this line, Shankara, Sai Shankara, we hail the Lord who took up the unique and captivating Shiva Shakti form of Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba for the sole purpose of uplifting humanity so that we too can experience the bliss that He is. We move on to the next line.
Ishwara, Sai Ishwara.
The first word here is Ishwara. Ishwara, Sarva Bhutanam. That is how Bhagavan explained the concept of Ishwara, which means God is the indweller of all beings. Baba says that Ishwara is not the one who is portrayed as wearing the Rudraksha or the sacred bead garlands and having serpents around his neck. It is only a form. The Shiva form is a creation of man to help comprehend divinity to some extent. Bhagwan says the various names and forms like Ishwara, Parvati, Vishnu, Lakshmi, etc. They were created to enable the common man to worship God in some form or the other. In fact, Baba goes on to say every human being is an embodiment of Ishwara. There's nothing in this world which is not permeated by Ishwara. All names and forms originate from Ishwaratva, that is the divine principle. Everything is permeated and originated from the principle of the divine, from Ishwaratva. That is the profound significance behind this word Ishwara. The other word Sai Ishwara comes from Sai and Ishwara. Hence in this line, Ishwara Sai Ishwara, we adore Lord Sai as the omnipresent, all-pervading Lord, the Lord of all beings. Let's move on to the fifth line of the bhajan.
Ishwara Paritishwara.
We already know the meaning of the word Ishwara. The other word Paritishwara comes from Parti, referring to Puttaparthi, and Ishwara again. Paritishwara means the Lord of Puttaparthi. Baba says that Ishwara or divinity is regarded as the possessor of the infinite and inexhaustible wealth. And what is this wealth? It is the wealth of health, the wealth of material prosperity, the wealth of knowledge, of virtues, of wisdom. And Ishwara is one who is not only the repository of all this, but the one who grants all this. Therefore, in this line, Ishwara Paritishwara, we offer our loving salutations to the one who is the Lord of not only Puttaparthi,
but of the entire cosmos, the embodiment of all types of wealth and prosperity. Let's move on to the last line.
Chandrasekhara Jatadhara Uma Maheshwara.
This too is a repeat of an earlier line of this bhajan. We saw before that how Lord Shiva wears the crescent moon as a jewel on his head. There is a riveting account of an amazing miracle by Swami as chronicled by Dr. John Hislop way back in May 1974. Early in the morning of December 8, 1973, Swami departed Prashantinilayam for Vrindavan, his ashram in Bangalore. After an hour or so of driving, Swami directed the three accompanying cars to turn off the road to a clearing in an uninhabited area of the forest. Everyone came out of their cars and Swami was now in a very delightful mood, moving about amongst the party and cracking jokes with the men. And beside the picnic area was a wood apple tree with a few large apples in view in the upper branches. And even as all were enjoying that time with Swami, one small apple about an inch in diameter fell to the ground and Swami just picked it up. And now, holding the small wood apple between his thumb and forefinger against the morning sun, Swami said, "Look here, this is the moon." And then he closed the small apple in his hand for a moment, and when his hand opened, the apple had actually disappeared, and in its place there was this most extraordinary object. The object in Swami's hand was a translucent disc, thin at the edges and thicker at the center. It reflected light in a brilliant way, and throughout its body there was a puzzling variety of modifications. There were dark areas of uneven shape and size. There were short and longer veins of luminous mineral-like materials of all shades of color. There were specks and dots of color that reflected brightly in the sunlight. The total effect of the disc was one of great, amazing beauty. Everyone gazed at that object with intense interest and wonderment. Holding the disc to the sun, Swami said that it was the moon in miniature, comprised of the moon's matter. To put it simply, it was a mirror of the moon. No one understood what he meant, and everyone started to ask questions at length, and then they understood that the two-sided disc was actually an accurate miniature in stone and minerals of both the sides of the moon. The darker, unevenly shaped areas on the disk were the very large features of the moon's surface. The brightly reflecting specks and dots were individual mountains and smaller mountain ranges. The shorter and longer veins of brilliant and variously colored mineral were additional features that they saw on the moon's landscape. Indeed, the visual modifications to be seen in the disc were so complex that everyone could not really understand it. Swami said that the mineralized appearance of the luminous features of the disc was in fact moon's minerals. He added that they could be seen in the disc because it was thin and therefore translucent, and that the same mineralization was in the moon itself. The miniature moon was exact and fully accurate. If there was to be a photographic enlargement, scientists at once could recognize all the landscape features with which they were familiar. Baba told everyone that he would not give the miniature moon to anyone and that the disc would be returned to where it came from. He did not describe the source and no one asked him. At this point, food was taken out from the cars and everyone had a delicious breakfast. And meanwhile, Dr. Hislop had this moon disc in his hand. After a while, when he looked at this moon and before he returned it to Swami, he again held it up to the sun, and all along the edge of this stone disc, there was a rich golden light. Swami saw this and said, "See, this is the sunrise in the moon." And after that, all admired that golden light, and now Swami took the moon disc again into his hand, closed his fist, and in a moment, when he opened his hand, the disc was no more, and in its place was that original
small wood apple. So in this line, Chandrasekhara Jatadhara Uma Maheshwara, we sing praises to the one who is the master of this creation, who wields the moon as an adornment on his head. The one with lovely locks of matted hair, the one who is the supreme controller of nature. With this, dear listeners, we are done with getting a glimpse of what every word in this bhajan conveys. And now, let's sing this bhajan once again with deeper understanding of what this bhajan means to all of us. When we chant these names, let's picturize the Lord in our mind's eye and sing this bhajan once again. You will now listen to the complete version of this bhajan as it is sung by the students of Bhagwan's University in the Prashanthi Nilayam Mandir. And as you listen to this, please sing along.
Shankara Sadashiva Sabhapate Manohara. Shankara Sadashiva Sabhapate Manohara. Chandrasekhara Jatadhara Uma Maheshwara. Chandrasekhara Jatadhara Uma Maheshwara. Shankara Sadashiva Sabhapate Manohara. Shankara Sai Shankara. Chandrasekhara Jatadhara Uma Maheshwara. Chandrasekhara Jatadhara Uma Maheshwara. Shankara Sadashiva Sabhapate Manohara. Chandrasekhara Jatadhara Uma Maheshwara. Shankara Sadashiva Sabhapate Manohara. Shankara Sai Shankara. Shankara Sai Shankara. Ishwara Sai Ishwara. Chandrasekhara Jatadhara Uma Maheshwara. Shankara Sadashiva Sabhapate Manohara.
And now in the last part of this program, here is an extract of a conversation with Abhishek Narayan Acharya, who joined Baba's Music College here in Prashanthi Nilayam in 2004, and 2 years after this he was blessed with the opportunity to play tabla in front of Bhagwan, which he continues to do even now every single day in Prashanthi Nilayam. In this extract, he shares about his learnings of how to be an effective tabla player for Sai Bhajans, the lessons that he has grasped living in the divine presence.
And another thing that I got to know is, in this bhajan we are playing for Swami, we should pray that Swami should, like every other speaker prays in the beginning, that Swami, you speak through us. The same way we should pray that Swami, play through us or sing through us. And Bishu brother, I used to do that. Every bhajan opportunity, whenever I used to get, before, as per the custom, every music performer prays to Mother Saraswati, prays to the instrument before starting their performance. They pray to Bhagwan, like we also are taught in our hostel to do a silent prayer or a prayer before any activity that we do. So before bhajan sessions, I also used to pray. I used to always pray to Swami, Swami, this opportunity is given by you. We are going to play or sing here for you. Let me play in such a way that it adds to the overall mood of this bhajan session. My playing should not be disturbing for this bhajan session. It should be like the sugar mixed in water, which adds to the taste but loses the identity. Wow. I every day used to pray, and when this experience happened, I realized this is what God does for you. And then my association of 2 years by then, when it started happening, had also taught me so many things. This bhajan group, this prestigious Prashanti bhajan group which we see, is not comprises of only the musically trained boys. I was one who had learnt music, let's say. But there is other person who gets a chance to play tabla who hasn't learned anything at all.
No formal training in music.
Yes, not at all. No formal training. They just know enough to do in bhajans. And then they are good at that. This is one particular thing. So that gave me the thought, it is Swami who does for me. It is Swami who does for Ustad Zakir Hussain ji also. And this is the same Swami who does for this brother.
Yeah.
There are so many. They have studied science here. They are working in hospital there. But they come and then they sing and then they perform and then they go, and they would be able to move the Lord with their devotion in that. So actually it is the bhava.
Yeah, the bhava.
Which is the idea of this series, Bhajan Tutor, bhava is what we have to keep.
And when said bhava is there, he takes over.
Yes.
He takes over.
Yes. So this has been my experience, and my advice would be to all my brothers, not only in this particular bhajan group, but also out there who are getting an opportunity to sing for Bhagwan in their respective places, in whatever capacity they can, they should keep in mind that it is Swami who is listening and it is Swami who is singing. We are just that lucky instrument, because yes, it is very rare that we get an opportunity. We can be a part of bhajans, but we cannot necessarily be given the opportunity to perform, either sing or play for bhajans. That is another very rare opportunity that we get. So whoever is getting, so
leading the bhajan,
yes,
or playing the bhajan is a very,
we should be able to
precious opportunity.
Yeah, we should be able to sing or play with this feeling that we are doing it for Bhagwan.
Yes.
And let, wonderful. And he takes over. He and does take over.
Wonderful. In fact, one thing that you mentioned is really very profound. You said every tabla player who is playing for the bhajan should be like that sugar which melts. You know, it adds sweetness to the bhajan, but ultimately there is no identity.
It's
melted with the water and made the whole water sweet. I think it should make the whole bhajan session sweet by gauging the mood and providing that rhythm to the bhajan. But at the end of it, people go back with the feeling that what a beautiful bhajan session it was. They don't think who...
Yes, they don't know why. When something is not there, when this is not there, they would know something was missing.
Something was missing. But when it is there, they just go back with a nice feeling that they had a very beautiful moment with Bhagwan. Beautiful. Thank you very much, Abhishek. I know there is so much more that you can share, given your long training in music and this chance that you have had with Bhagwan. Maybe we'll continue this session later on as you get new insights, dwelling on music and dwelling on this beautiful relationship with Swami. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bhaiya. Thanks.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
So that was Abhishek Narayan Acharya, a former student of Baba's Music College, who now works in Radio Sai as a sound engineer. In fact, he's one of the sound engineers for this program too. We have now reached the end of the present episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. We do hope you found this useful and insightful. The sound engineers for this program are Sunil, Dhananjay and Abhishek. The background music for this was done by another alumnus, P.S. Ramakrishnan from Chennai. With hearts full of gratitude, we place this humble offering at the lotus feet of our beloved Swami. We eagerly welcome your feedback and requests or suggestions for this program. So as always, please do email us at listener@radiosai.org, listener@radiosai.org.
You were listening to an episode of our program Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. This episode was first aired on 6th June 2013 as part of Thursday Live from Prashanthinilam on Asia stream of Radio Sai Global Harmony. This program was hosted by Team Radio Sai's Bishu. Thank you and Sai Ram.
Thank you.